Welcome to Discover Indie Film. This is Jeff Howard, and I am excited because I get to do a full interview with Joey. Hey, Joey.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going well for everybody listening. Joey is... Actually, you want to tell me... I know you're in China, but you want to tell me where in China you are?
I am currently in a city called Fushun. It's in the northern part of the city in Liaoning province, and it's just... It's one of those obviously obscure, no-name cities you would never think of off the top of your head.
Exactly. And for those, and so my introduction of Joey is going to be just a few months ago at Film Invasion Los Angeles 2023. We showed Joey's really beautiful music video, A Beautiful Escape. And A Beautiful Escape won Outstanding Music Video and Outstanding Performance in a Music Video for your lead performer, Haley Wen. So congratulations on the awards. And at the end of the festivals, an email goes out saying, hey, anyone who wants to jump in on this podcast and have fun and share your story and your creative story is welcome. And so I like this fast turnaround, actually, because we did a Zoom Q&A for your music video's appearance. We showed it in the theater, and I got to tell you, it looked gorgeous on the 70-foot screen. Nice DCP projection.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And we're in a really nice theater. Film Invasion Los Angeles rents the Look Cinemas in Glendale, which means I got to watch in a leather recliner where, like, you hit a button and your legs go up. So anyway, but... So it's pretty cush. But anyway, it was great to have the film there. And as I recall from when we did the Zoom Q&A, it was just, I remember something really funny that we shared, which is you named the city and you said, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I think, I don't know what adjective you use, but something along the lines of it's, you know, it's not a massive city like Beijing or Shenzhen, but then, like, there's millions of people in that city.
Oh, yeah, it's a it is a large city with a small town lifestyle. It's the city I'm in is the population is a couple of million, but it's still considered a small city in comparison. And it's got that small town lifestyle where there's only like one Burger King, one IMAX. It's kind of bizarre because you have to take it. You have to look at it from a couple of different perspectives to really see the difference in comparisons when you use a choice of words like that, like calling it a small town.
For sure, I understand, but I get it. It's all relative.
Yes.
So it's super interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing the full story of how you ended up in China because you're an American person. So. Do you want to share? Oh, by the way, A Beautiful Escape. I hope people get to see it. I don't know. It's not online yet, right?
It's online, but it's unlisted. You can only see it if you have the link. Just because it's still submitted into other festivals as well, and some of those festivals are saying, "Hey, this." Some of their rules say they can't be publicly available.
Yeah, exactly. So you're holding back, but. But when it is out for the world to see, you know what? Fire off an email to me and I'll update the show notes in this podcast so that people can click on it and get taken to where they can see it, because it's a beautiful, I think it's going to call it a film. It's a beautiful film. It just looks great.
Oh, thank you.
And love the story. It is a great ride. It's a great trip. So anyway, I let you know I was going to ask you about... Your creative life story, how you got into the creative arts and interested in filmmaking and film and video. So when did that journey start for you?
Oh, it started, when I was a kid. I had a very active imagination. I mean, I was just basically just creating scenarios, creating my own stories since I was a kid and everything like that, at home, at school, naturally, of course, some people saw it as strange because, you know, just creating all this stuff out of thin air. But basically when I was, you know, whether it was playing with toys or just creating my own characters, just, you know, almost like doing a one-man performance, So I've always had that active imagination. And over time, obviously I got it. I was movies, video games, TV shows, all that stuff. I just, getting lost in the story and enjoying what I can. Eventually, as I got older, I at first wanted to be an actor. I had an agent and I was getting some jobs being background extras and stuff like that. And then one day I was an extra in the film Rushmore, where I got to sit by Bill Murray. And it was then I decided I realized being an actor wasn't enough. I wanted to be a director. I wanted to create the story. I wanted to create the characters, create the environment and everything. Because at that time when I was younger, I was naive, thinking the actors called all the shots. And then my experience with Bill Murray showed that wasn't always the case.
For sure. And actually, let me go a little backwards. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in different cities. I didn't really have a hometown, as you call it, but the most consistent places I stayed was between Los Angeles and Houston. So both very polarizing environments. You know, I spent like my childhood years in Los Angeles, and I spent my high school years in Houston, and then fluctuated in between. And then I was back in Los Angeles before I came to China.
Got you. Yeah. Yeah. Very different cultures, LA and Houston, huh?
Yeah. So it rubbed off of me. Both have. So I'm hard to put a label on me.
Understood. And that must have been pretty exciting, working on a film like Rushmore.
It was, but it was also very eye-opening for me. It was basically an educational experience. That's when it was that experience that made me realize, like, I got the whole idea wrong. Actors do, you know, depending on the actor, they can have a lot of call of shots on their characters and everything like that. But I realized it was being a director, a writer, and everything like that. That has the chance to actually let the story breathe life into the story, bring the imagination to life. And my experience was, in a scene where Bill Murray was talking to the director. I was there while Bill Murray was talking to the director, and he had all these ideas, and the director pretty much shut them all down. And at that time, you know, being, I didn't know who that director was. So I was like, basically thinking Bill Murray was the boss. But when the director was not liking Bill Murray's idea, I whispered to my friend right next to me at the time, "Man, the guy knows comedy. You don't argue with man." But that was when I realized that the director was really calling the shots and everything, and it helped me switch gears and what I really want to do with the passion.
For sure, and I got to admit that's kind of a really cool insight, because I mean, that was Wes Anderson's second movie, right? He did Bottle Rocket, and then he gets Rushmore, and he gets Bill Murray on Rushmore. And like you said, Bill Murray was a freaking titan of comedy. And here's this young director, second time out. And the first one he just made with a couple friends. And here he is like telling Bill Murray, no, I'm not doing your idea. You do my idea. That tells you Wes Anderson really had a vision.
Yeah, I mean, and it was very casual. I mean, it wasn't like there was no fighting or anything, like no drama. So it was very casual. What the funny thing about it was, Bill Murray was literally like right in front of me when I was talking to my friend who was sitting next to me. And I was just saying, wow, the guy knows comedy, argue with a man. But I think Bill Murray overheard that, because he wanted to motivate everyone around me, because it was the wrestling scene in that movie. And in that wrestling scene, he turned around to me, asked me my name, and he told everyone, picture Joey getting body slammed really hard. And I was just like, oh, he overheard me and thought I was referencing the director, not him. I mean, I don't know. It was an interesting
interaction. Right. You got, I mean, boy, it's hard for me to reconcile what's happened with Bill Murray in the last, you know, in recent history that a lot of negative things finally came out about him when he had been a hero for so long. But yeah, he does have a bit of a bite, we've all learned. And you actually got that a little bit of a bite in person.
And to be fair, I was never one of those people who said, ooh, can I have your autograph or ooh, take a selfie. It was like, nah, it was just the experience. So I always took that as, that's a story I can tell forever. I'm good. That's my autograph right there. But it was an interesting, and that was it. But there was no malice or anything with that interaction. It was just, you know, when I did whisper that to my friend, I did happen to also see Bill Murray's eyes, not directly towards me, but his eyes did turn towards the conversation. And my mind was like, oh God, please don't think I was talking about, I was taking the director's, I was actually taking your side, because his idea was funny. I liked his idea. He had this really funny idea. He was telling the director, and the director wanted to play it more straight.
Gotcha. But yeah, very cool. And you learned, actually, I've heard that from other people that, you know, when you're a kid watching films, watching TV, you think the people on screen are the ones delivering the story to you. And then you eventually learn that they are part of the storytelling, but the real storytelling comes from writing and directing.
Yeah, and it's what made me started trying to, you know, do my own little projects. Basically, you know, before I started my YouTube page and started working on my video projects in China, I was just doing really little, just the littlest things as possible whenever I had time. God awful things, but it was just really fun, especially. You know, when you had no money, and you just worked with whatever you had on your, you know, whatever your hands can get your hands on.
Yeah. Well, were you in LA when you started, or did you mention?
I went. No, that's when that was. But believe it or not, that was shot in Texas. Rushmore. That is at least that scene I was in. That was shot in Texas.
And yeah, so actually, I think his first two films were, he's a Wes Anderson's Texan, I think, right? Yeah, so.
And that's that. And I was already in high school at the time, and I had to deal with, I had to work, be flexible between school and football. And then that's when I started backing off from trying to get acting jobs and just learning more about the process of directing, equipment, writing, and all that stuff.
Excellent. And right, so then you started there, and then you came to LA before. But and what were you doing in LA? Were you getting to do anything creative when you were in LA before the move to China?
Oh, that was the plan. That was the plan. And then everything went to hell one fateful Christmas. I was planning on going to deal with film school, and then I got into a car. And then on one fateful Christmas day, I got into a car accident and I lost my mode of transportation. And because of that, I lost my job. I basically had to start over and put everything else aside and just work myself back up from the bottom just to get into a little stability. So I had to really suspend a lot. And basically all I could do was just at that time was write stories. I've got that's all I could do, write stories, but I couldn't get anything set up because I was just too busy trying to get back on my feet and just, you know, have a place of my own, keep a job. It was not fun. I mean, I can look back on it and say adventurous, but at the time I wouldn't consider it fun times.
No. Any kind of serious accident like that. So really knocked you off course for a minute.
Oh yeah. Especially and not fun when it's on a Christmas day.
No. All right. Well, so that I'm glad you got through that. And then, are we already to the point where I should be asking you what led you to move to China, or Or was there post-accident, you were looking for a fresh start?
Well, pretty much. I mean, once I finally had the stability I needed, I was already looking into starting up possible projects, just that's when I started having experience with people who were motivated, but they were kind of flaky too, just by circumstances. So, but I was looking into that, but that's when the whole China situation came about.
Cool. And I guess I might as well say what exactly did you had an opportunity to move there for a job, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
What was the job or is?
Just teaching. I had a chance to teach over here. It was all by chance too. I made a friend online. We were just talking about video projects and stuff like that. And then we got into the conversation of just, man, the locations and everything like that. I mean, if I could, I've always wanted to live in Asia, especially Japan. But then that friend of mine introduced me to someone at the school. That person at the school liked me enough, introduced me to the boss. The boss liked me enough. I got a contract offer. Boom, here I am.
Kind of amazing. And what are you teaching?
Just teaching English.
Right. So you're teaching English in China, which is, I mean, that's pretty amazing. You're like at the epicenter. I mean, in a way, you kind of chose I guess it wasn't the perfect time to move there because you shot your film during COVID in China. But,
the music video. Well, I mean, I shot a few different projects before the pandemic too. Those I didn't submit, but they're on the YouTube page. But each project, I put more money into it and got better equipment. It's like you could see the difference in quality as far as the ones that are described as me behind the camera, you can see there's a music video, I did a student film, I did an advertisement, I've done an advertisement for my school, and I've done a couple of other videos for my school, and the quality changes each time. That's where I've been putting more money into equipment and editing.
Excellent. Yeah, so you're basically, so the equipment's improving and your skill set too.
Yeah, basically, a lot. Yeah, basically, I took to heart what James Cameron and Quentin Tarantino said, which I wish I would have learned a long time ago before China, before I lost all that money. Just pick up a camera, no matter how bad the quality is. Even if your sister or your friend is shooting, it's just cheesy, the most cheesiest thing ever. Just pick up the camera, shoot. Tell your story, boom, you're a director. Everything else is just negotiations for money.
That's true. And by sounds like you're also sort of doing the very independent thing that people do, which is just building up your own your own gear house so that you have. Also, we live in an era where the filmmaking equipment is more accessible than ever, although not the really great stuff. But yeah, it sounds like you're just you've been adding equipment along the way.
Well, yeah, basically, I had no choice. I realized that pretty much everything I've done, it's on my own. I don't have the money. I'm not one of those that had the financial background to, fund everything, didn't have the right connections. And it was just the attitude is like, no one's going to help you. You got to do it yourself. So I started doing a lot of stuff on my own. Each time I did it, it was the shooting process was stressful as it comes around, but fun, exhilarating at the same time. Editing it was long hours, again, all fun. And then, so each project, it just was, brutally fun and I've learned I got to do this by myself because that's the only way I can do it.
Yeah, and I mean essentially I like how you said brutally fun because it's It's a brutal, painful process, but it's also really rewarding.
So rewarding. It was especially rewarding, as you said, the music video and the film I did shoot was during the pandemic, and that was not fun, very stressful. And then, you know, when I finally got COVID and I was editing everything together, I was like, yeah, I felt like I was on the clock. But when it's all said and done, it's like, yeah, it's just I love it. It is my passion. It's like, well, you know, I'm here for the job, but filming is my passion.
Yeah. And for I will describe A Beautiful Escape a little in that it's a very visual. I mean, music video tends to be a visual medium, but it's highly visual and you do a lot with color. And was that stuff that you learned from earlier projects, or did you just do a ton of experimentation with A Beautiful Escape? Because, I mean, you and I have both seen the film. Obviously, you made the film. I've seen it multiple times, including at the theater. And it's like, you know, just the visuals are so cool. And you do so much with color, and as well as, you know, some of the other very cool shots you got, you know, whether it was, you know, fluids, you know, oil and liquid or whatever. You did a lot of cool stuff with colored liquids, and then you did a whole lot of color changing of the footage you shot.
Yeah. My previous projects, I did a little bit of experiments with changing the colors, but when I finally finished the music video of Beautiful Escape, that's when I was able to, my editing software, I upgraded my editing software, and I was able to get all these new color filters, transitions, special effects, coloring effects. And you're right, it was experiment. The whole thing was just like mixing paint, trying to get the right balance, trying to see what I see how I can change the environment to get what I visually imagined.
Right. Yeah. Cause you had something very specific in mind.
Whenever I do start a project, before I even start it, I always storyboard everything in my mind. And then once I shoot everything together, then I find the right music, and then I take all my footage and the music and try to get them in sync with each other. So basically, when I was shooting A Beautiful Escape, I found the music first, and so that was the one occasion where it was the opposite. And then I storyboarded everything in my mind, and then I had all this footage, which took hours to just try to sync up with the beats and sync up with the visual ideas. And that took, I would find myself starting like at 7 o'clock at night and calling it a day at 4 o'clock in the morning, just by trying to get everything synced up just right to feel like it all flows smoothly.
And were you doing that like while you're working too? Like you're teaching English during the day and doing an all nighter?
Well, the shooting took on my days off, so I used my days off to shoot, and editing. That was during work. So I, as soon as I'd finish work, I'd go home, and then I just hit right into the computer and start working on the video. And sometimes I would stop myself and realize, man, you haven't eaten at all today. I mean, I get so lost into it, and I feel nothing. I feel good, but I realize better take a eating break at least.
I'm glad you got to take care of yourself, sir. You gotta watch out for that. But I totally appreciate the dedication.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's just how much passion I am. I love that. I get so locked into this, and I can find myself working on this. I've done this with subtitles too. I've taken movies where there's where I want to change up on the subtitles, and I can work all day and night on it. And that is even more meticulous when it comes to editing. So yeah, it is a very rewarding, but it can be a bit obsessive, unhealthy if I don't look at the clock and realize I know plenty of bosses would like, hey, I like your work ethic. Come over here and put in 12 hours.
Heck, that's why they love recent college grads in Silicon Valley and whatnot, right? They work them to the bone.
Yeah, the only difference is I like being my own boss.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot more rewarding to burn the midnight oil for your passion project instead of, you know, a report you got to get done for work.
Yeah, that was the other thing I realized. It's like, I'm doing this on my time, on my money, and because of that, I'm sure everyone's got notes, and I usually, and for the most part, I said, yeah, I accept it. The thing is, it's like, well, I had to answer to nobody. So I was like, I only answer to myself. So if I find anything wrong with it, I know who to go to. But yeah, so for the most part, it is rewarding. It is rewarding to just go at your own pace. And it's just me. I go full, megaton on it when I get into the zone.
Exactly. Yeah. And was it like that too with the shooting? Because obviously you shot with Haley. But there were other shots. I think it was just the city, right?
No, that was, let's see. That was no. For the most part, Haley was there the whole time. If there were other shots you saw, that was probably from, my other movie that I made, with Haley. It turned out to be a surprise, when laid back she was to work with. She is fun. She was very fun to work with. And because usually I've worked with other people before, and they get hungry real quick. They get hungry real quick, or they've got, you know, they get tired real quickly. Haley could go from morning till around sundown. And she would go. I mean, as long as, like, hey, my game paid. Cool. I'm happy to do this. She was a very laid back person. So shooting was really smooth and just laid back and fun. I, Angelo, who was my cinematographer at the time, and Haley, we just had fun going around shooting.
That's excellent. And this, you have the music first, right? You said.
Yeah, I was just, this was when the pandemic started. And, as I said in the Q&A, at the time in 2020, everything was just bleak, unknown. And I just, I just started thinking back at times where I just wanted out from everything. I came across the music, and I got lost into it, and it just gave me an idea. And that's when I started storyboarding everything in my head from that. From the song. And then from there, I did one of my favorite things. I went scouting locations. I actually have fun looking for locations because it's, it's just an excuse for me to explore. So, this all started when, in 2020, when the pandemic started, when, before things went totally global, when China just locked down its borders. And yeah, the future was really, really unknown, and there was no vaccines. And it just kept hearing bleak news, you know, and so the music helped me escape, and it just gave me that feeling again to just, like, yeah, you just need you do whatever it takes just to have an escape, even if it's just for a short time.
For sure. And you came up with the concept for the video, which is about a new drug helping people touch the sky with a colorful escape. And did you explain that to Haley, or did you just describe, like, how you wanted her to move through certain environments?
Yeah, I explained that to her before she said yes to the project. I just told her it's just going to be like this music video, and yeah, you're going to take some candy and just be happy and all that stuff. Because I was a little... because I had no idea how she would feel. It's like, this is about drugs. It's just about drugs. So once we started shooting, and on there was one shot where she's blowing smoke. That's when I told her, okay, see that? Yeah. So basically, this is just a happy pill. This is where The world is going from bleak gray to suddenly everything's colorful. The environment is full of life with trees and beauty and just changing. I told her all that, and she laughed. She laughed at the whole time. And to pull off that one shot with the smoking, it was her. We just got a vape. We just got a vape for her, and then had to get try to do our best to get the right shot of her vaping with while speeding up the film to get that really good slow-mo effect.
Yeah, that I mean, slow motion smoke. Yeah, you got the timing perfect, and that was. Did you do a couple versions of that, or was it you got it right the first one?
Yeah, because the idea because that was my other idea. That was the that was kind of like the hook I wanted. You would take the pill, which was just it was just a jelly bean. I just got I just went to the shop, got a bottle of jelly bean, scratched off the label to make it look as ghetto as possible, and then it was just this sour jelly bean. And the hook was, it's like you chew it, and then once the drug kicks in, everything, that solid becomes a gas, and you can blow out the smoke. And when we were doing that shot, there was a couple of shots, but since it was Haley's first time vaping, she liked it. She doesn't smoke, but she liked just trying it out. But she got the giggles, and so there were a couple of shots that were perfect, but then she couldn't help but laugh. And so it's like, so that shot that's in the, so that shot that did make it in the music video, that was like, the third take, because the first take was perfect, but she smiled the whole time and it was too goofy. And then the second take was also well done, but she, coughed a little bit. And so that kind of went a shot the third. So that was, you could say third time's the charm, but the first two takes were ultimately better. So it kind of broke my heart. I couldn't use those shots.
Understood. But yeah, that's look, you can't control all those things, right? It's someone breathing smoke into their lungs and they're not used to it.
No. Plus again, because we were all on our, there was no, I was paying for the whole thing and we were all on borrowed time. You know, it's not like, all right, we'll just come back and redo this shot the next day. It was like, no, we all got things to do the next day. So it was like, we got to take what we can get.
And didn't you tell me also that at the time you weren't supposed to be out? Was it during lockdown or was the city you were in wasn't locked down?
No, the city wasn't locked down. At the time of shooting, this was before everything went crazy. This was at the time of the Delta variant, and at that time China's strict policy actually made it easier to go out because it was strict enough to where it was a little bit more flexible. And the city I'm in, it was actually one of the safer cities where we had pretty much no cases up until the end of 2022. And so we had a lot more flexibility just to go out to do the shooting. And where we were going, it was pretty open. It was pretty open space to the point there was no restrictions of just walking around there. But we shot at one park and then we shot at one neighborhood that was pretty much closed down. And then we shot by a performance arts theater in the back, and all those places those were like open public places.
But most of the time, right? And at least I did not have a chance to rewatch it before we chatted, but most of the time she's quite alone out on the streets, right?
Yeah, and that is because of the locations I find, scouting locations. Most of the time she was alone. I was lucky to find those areas. The area. There was an area where there's a performance art theater, and there was a lot of tall grass and fields. That area was always empty. It was just an empty lot. It's gone now. They took that down. I was like very lucky. I was like, I'm glad we shot there. The park we're at had people, and so basically, it was about timing. It was just about timing, seeing who was around and who was not around. And it was like, all right, nobody's here. Let's get in and shoot. It was guerrilla shooting. So there were people, but most of the shots where it looks like she's completely alone, that was guerrilla shooting. It's like, nobody's here. There's no cars. Let's go.
And it gives it such a, it's such a cool feeling because, yeah, we know that she's, we know that she's experiencing, you know, she's experiencing something hallucinogenic, and her not seeing any other people. Yeah. But I think it just really adds to it.
Yeah. The visual aspect I got, that was inspired by that one, just by that one brief scene in Wizard of Oz where, Dorothy is in the Emerald City and there's a horse that keeps changing colors. And for me, that was like, when I saw that as a kid, I always liked that. I mean, I felt bad for the horse now looking back on it, but it was just trippy to see the horse go from one color to another, to these bright colors. And so that, that inspired me to, with the editing process of just changing the colors, but also helped the story is like, yeah, she's basically taking, taking the drug where you're, Dorothy's going from Kansas black and white to the Wizard of Oz where everything's in color, and it's just you've never felt more free. It's a completely different world where everything where everything is goes from a narrow street like in the beginning where she's in that alley and everything, just those buildings are closed and there's one straight line, to everything's more spread out, free.
You know, I would have never, you could have asked me to name 50 films that might have inspired you, and I would not have thought of Wizard of Oz, but as soon as you said it, I got it.
I was actually,
like, wait, because Wizard of Oz is its own kind of, I mean, it is definitely a trip. I mean, it's a film about someone who goes somewhere, you know, while they're unconscious.
Yeah, well, I mean, basically a concussion. She got hit in the head. She got hit in the head, and now she's, yeah. So, I mean, you can break that down. You can break that down, too. There's so many ways you can break down that film. For me, as a kid, it was just a magical adventure. But at the time when I heard the music and I was, you know, just depressed, feeling closed in, as everything just felt tighter, and the idea that there's a disease that if you catch it, you're going to get sick. But after you get better, you can get a heart attack. All this stuff was just going through my head. And so I just, you know, I thought up the story. Then I thought about, you know, just, wow, what if you could just, you know, because basically it's like I thought of Wizard of Oz and like, yeah, she wanted to go home. But me, if I was in that opportunity, I was like, nope, I'm good. I'm going to stick around here. I'll stay here as long as I can. So that was, yeah, it all, I took my interpretation of Wizard of Oz and changed it for that moment.
I got to say that I found that quite inspiring because I'm amazed there's not stand-up comedians who talk about the fact of like, why did she want to go home? she was in a magical place. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's so many jokes I can go into that, but let's try to keep this as PG as possible.
For sure. And we'll get back to your story. Well, how many days did you shoot it for?
All right. For the days of shooting, it took 4 days spread out in 3 weeks. Like at the time, because also whenever there was a case of COVID in a city next to us, then the city wouldn't lock down, but basically schools would be canceled and there'd be a tighter restriction. We'd have more, we'd have to take more days off from our jobs. And so that's when we took advantage of it. So for 3 weeks, we shot 4 days worth of footage. And then it took an additional 3 weeks of editing.
Nice, nice. So it actually, you went from concept to completion. Well, not a lot of sleep, but you got it done.
That's on me. I mean, it was like no one was pushing me to get anything done. I was just so into it. Plus, again, it just felt good because at the time, the way the world was, and then hearing about the riots back in America, and then finally Delta just going everywhere. And yeah, it was my own personal escape just to deal But I have to give full props to my cinematographer Angela at the time and Haley, because they were willing to go as long as they could. I mean, Angela needed to eat, but Haley was like, she was a real, I wouldn't even say trooper. She was just a real, she's a real natural, she just has a natural talent to just to work with, and just fun.
That's excellent. How did you meet Haley? Did you, was she just a friend or a coworker, or did you cast it?
No, she was a friend and coworker. She did, she's done some, work before, for her own, outside, like just little side gigs, mostly just to help, you know, businesses and stuff like that. But, I just asked her, hey, you, we've got the time now, and, it's still pretty safe to shoot. Do you want to help out? And it's like, don't worry, it's going to be completely professional. Don't think of this as just like, oh, some TikTok video or some, or just some huge, you know, doyen video. Like, you know, it's going to be professional. You'll get paid. And she just said, cool. I didn't even have to negotiate. She just needed to know which days, and to see if she's available. And yeah, she was just very cool about it. There was one day we had to cancel because of weather, but she was totally committed. And it was fun. Like I said, she's very natural to work, natural and fun to work with. Like anyone who has who would like to work with her, they won't regret it, because it's just fun.
Excellent. Sounds like when you're ready to do something again, you'll probably ask her to be on screen for you again.
Actually, yeah. When I was doing my other project, my movie project, I did ask for her help. And at that time, her schedule was too busy, both at work and in little side gigs. And so I was like, all right, well, then I'll just move on. I'll find other people for that. And then one day, a month later, while I was in the middle of shooting of my movie, she said, hey, my schedule's changed. I'm free up. Do you still need me? And at that time, because I had such a great experience with her the music video, said, yeah, but I casted everything. So, but I really do like you. And this goes back to me wanting to be a director. It's like, so I had everything set up, and then when she became available, I had to create a character on the spot, just to fit her in. And not just once, twice. I had to create two characters, because I had such a good time working with her again on that movie, that I needed her help to help deal with timing and editing issues, to where it's like I had to create another character, and she just came in like that again. We had fun. She had giggles all day because of one line, but for the most part, working with her was awesome, but it also helped me realize, yeah, being a director, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to be a director. I can take the story that's already set, and I can make the adjustments I need to create on the spot. And she's someone I would like to go to again, like Adam Sandler goes to his friends. I was like, I have an idea for another music video project that she would be perfect for.
Excellent, excellent, very cool. And so now that you've gotten a beautiful escape done, do you have like a list of things you want to make?
Yes, I mean. Finished Beautiful Escape. I finished my movie.
Yeah, when you say your movie, is that like how long is it?
The movie Exodus. Yeah, that movie was.
Oh yeah, Exodus. Right, right. This is a bad thing to say on the podcast. Joey sent me a link to Exodus, and it's a feature film. So like, I haven't had a chance to watch it because one of the film festivals that I program, literally the final deadline was a week ago. So I'm like buried in those submissions. So I haven't had a chance to watch Exodus yet.
Oh, no worries. Like, just to talk more about Haley and go back to your question, why I wanted to be a director and all this stuff. Like I said, I had to I had an idea for that movie, and it changed. And as you know, from probably your own personal experience as well, sometimes in the middle of shooting, things change. And with Haley, when she wasn't available, that, you know, that sucked. But I made do by casting others. And then when she was available, this is why I'm a director. I'm going to create this character. And it turned out better than I thought it would be, because it was like Haley's performance – for one scene was the perfect bridge in that movie to link up. I mean, if you haven't seen it yet, then I won't spoil it, but it was the perfect bridge because I had this idea in the movie where I was like, how do I go from point A to point B smoothly without it just being so amateurish? And Haley's participation helped in that. There is one thing I will say when I created a second character for her is that she's good at saying bad language. And it was very funny. I mean, she can say it, but there is this one line she had, and she just couldn't say it without busting the giggles to the point it's like I had to like, never mind, we'll work around it. But she just had this one line, and it was very straightforward, but she kept laughing. So, but
wait, was she laughing? She was laughing because you were having her curse, or you mean she's actually good at cursing?
Yeah, no. I mean, actually, it's really sad, but cute. My experience with many of my coworkers who like Chinese coworkers and Chinese people who like try to use bad language here, it doesn't sound intimidating and it doesn't sound insulting. I mean, when they're using bad language as a second language, it sounds either funny or cute. And for Haley, she just had this one line. Out of curiosity, am I allowed to use language?
You are allowed to curse. We can curse all we want.
Okay, then the line was simple. In the movie Exodus, I just needed her to say fucking Weigoren. Just a combination of a bad language with Chinese word. And she just kept busting out laughing to the point where I was like, we'll take it out. But again, that just shows how flexible. I mean, when she's free and how fun to work with her, it creates a fun environment. I would recommend even though she's in China, if there were anyone who's just looking for an actress, I would always recommend her, just because if you wanted someone just to have good vibes, fun time, then she's a go-to person. And to answer your question, I have two ideas for a music video, and if Haley was available, I would cast her in that. I also have an idea for a lost short film. Before I did the music video, I was working on a short film already, and it was before the pandemic. And I literally had just a couple of scenes left to shoot to finish this short film. And it was an action short film. Again, great location in this city that you would be surprised about, because you've never heard of this city. And I would like to try to redo that again, because when back in 2020, I lost all the footage, all of it. It just, it all died, and I was heartbroken because I put in a couple of months work into that short film, only for it, all the footage just to be lost. And so so to answer your question about future projects, I have at least two more music videos I'd like to shoot. One of them I would prefer shooting in China, but they could be shot in America too. But the short film, I would like to try that again.
I almost don't want to ask, but when was it, like a hard drive failure kind of disaster?
It was a learning experience too, because I only had one portable hard drive, and I put it all on there, and I was just testing it out. It worked fine on the computer, but I wanted to test it out to see how it came off on the TV. I plugged the hard drive on the TV, and then as soon as I unplugged it to start working on it on the computer again with some editing, it wouldn't load up. It was unreadable, and so I was just And then that's when everyone said, well, why'd you only save it to one hard drive? I was like, oh, well,
I understand. By the way, I'm with you. I have all my work stuff backed up, like multiple backups with online and like, you know, a second hard drive. But for some reason, I let for like half a year, I had all my personal photos on one hard drive, not bad. And my backup hard drives were full. So I'm like, oh, I'll get more backup hard drives soon. And then I heard a grinding noise and I lost like 10 years of photos, including like trips around the world I did. So whew, I understand. Everyone makes fun of you when you lose stuff to a hard drive failure, but it happens to most of us at some point.
Yeah, and like I said, there was a couple of days of mourning, and then I was like, right, well, it is what it is. I've got to move on. I got to figure out what to do next. But I've learned from it, and yeah, now my home is full of portable hard drives. I mean, when I had a beautiful escape, it was on all the video footage and audio files were on three different hard drives backed up, just to make sure, on my computer, on a hard drive here, on a hard drive there. I did that. Same with Exodus, same with everything now. So it's like, now it's not a matter of do I have the files. Like, now it's just a matter of which hard drive. I got to start labeling hard drives to know what I have on it.
Excellent. Well, I'm sorry it happened to you, but I imagine when you get around to reshooting or revisiting those projects, you'll make them better than ever.
Yeah, and it's my experience. Both, I mean, before Beautiful Escape, almost all my projects were solo, and so Beautiful Escape was the first project where it's just me, guerrilla film, guerrilla shooting, filmmaking, and my money. But it so I didn't have like a full crew, but it was my first time working with a crew where I had a cinematographer, an actress, and the movie. And then when I made the movie Exodus, larger crew, and it made me realize that everyone I worked with, they didn't really have the experience like me. I was like, I found these people who like doing this kind of stuff, but they weren't getting the opportunities. And so I was like, well, I've got the time, I've got the money, I'll put it all together and I'll give you the shot to add to your, so at least you can put in your portfolio. It's like, hey, here's my experience to show you. I'm not like just, you know, that's what I did for my cinematographer for my movie Exodus and the other actresses who were, and the actor and actresses who were involved in that. And I kind of like the idea of my future projects to do that with other people. Like, I know there are people who want to get into videography, they're buying the equipment, but they just don't know how to start out. And I was like, you know what? If you got the time, I will happily pay you. I got a project idea and we'll work together. This will give you the experience you need. This will add into your portfolio. And that's my idea. My next project, I'm going to try to find a new cinematographer, maybe another actor and actress besides Haley, and just give people their chance. That's kind of what I would like to do in the future, is help people add to their portfolio. If they can't get in on their own, I give them that opportunity.
Sounds excellent. Sounds excellent. And are you there fairly, is it long-term?
I'm here for at least one more year. I'm here for at least one more year, and I would like to do at least one more project, before that time is up. After that, it depends. Like I said, my experience with your, film festival is like, yeah, it made me realize, yeah, I got to get back. I really wanted to be a part of that festival. And my experience with Exodus and Beautiful Escape, Beautiful Escape has once again was submitted to other festivals, and it just got selected in another festival over in England. And it made me realize, God, I wish I could be a part of that. So part of me is like now thinking, okay, I have ideas and I do want to work with more people. And there's a lot of people in America, at least, that would like to, be given a chance, whether it's acting in front of the camera or working behind the scenes. And I would like to, and if I want to get this kind of idea up and about, yeah, I need to get back to America eventually.
I understand. But for now, it's actually, I'm happy for you. It sounds like you have a good situation over there.
It is. At the same time, I really want to just start now. So what I don't like is the time in between. It's like, I'm ready to go now. Let's get going. And then it's like, well, first you got to do this. First you got to do this. All that stuff you have to set up. As you know, I mean, when you're setting up a film festival, I can imagine the hours, like you just mentioned, you got deadlines, the time consumption. And it's like, I imagine before the film festival actually starts, preparing all that is really, yeah. How many times have you told yourself, I can just start the film festival now?
Yeah, I hear you. Plus, yeah, it's I do enjoy the seasonality of it, that like you work your ass off for 3 or 4 months. And then I used to get two months to like sort of re-energize. And now like it just is into the next one right away. It's kind of funny, but hey, it's good. It's good that the festivals have grown.
Oh, I'm glad. And I'm happy for you. I mean, the reviews and from what I've seen in photos and everything like that. Yeah. Yeah. Your festival film Invasion Los Angeles, that is really a very chill festival where everyone just comes. There's no, you can be stressful, but everyone's just having a good time. And by the end of it, full of stories and good experiences. And hopefully in the future, I can actually physically be there.
I really hope so, because actually I can tell you, we're doing a monthly mixer now because people kept requesting it. So everyone just meets at a bar from the festivals, and we invited everyone like from all years. And like, I found out some people who met at Filmvasion LA in June, they're already collaborating. They're like, they met at the festival, they liked each other's work, and they're collaborating on their next thing.
You're hitting me in the heart. I was like,
sorry. It was supposed to be inspiring. I didn't mean to make you feel like, I didn't want you to have FOMO.
No, it is. Cause it's pushed me to a part of me. I mean, at the moment it's like, hey, I gotta go. I'm going to go scout locations right now. So it's just making me, cause that's the one thing I can do. I have control of, I don't have a cinematographer yet, but I can go scouting locations. I do like doing that. And so while I have the time, I can, do that. So it's good to hear that your festival is it's just a good place that can create a community where people can share ideas and collaborate. And I look forward to being a part of it.
For sure, and I'll say I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. We're good to our alumni. You're always welcome. Anytime you're in LA during one of our festivals, we actually, your free pass, your all access pass is like, once you're one of our people, you're always welcome. Just come see films, meet people. So you don't have to rush. Whenever you get here, we'll make sure you have a good time.
Yeah. Hopefully I can convince Haley to go. When she found out that the music video was accepted in the festival. It was accepted in the festival in New York and Film Invasion Los Angeles festival. She was like, ooh, that was her response. Ooh, I'm going to be famous. And then when I told her, yeah, then I told her, well, because, oh, yeah, this I found out. Yeah, how I found out was about the winning the awards. That surprised me. I'll get back to Haley in a minute. I found out just by accident that I won the awards. I don't remember getting any notifications. I remember getting a notification that was selected. I don't remember getting any notifications that we won an award. I just went to the website just to see the updates, and then it posted the awards, and then I see A Beautiful Escape twice. And I was just like, whoa, what the fuck? Okay. This was in the middle of the night too. So this is like at 2 a.m. So this is like right before I go to bed and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So
dang, you're making me realize the problem with email is that, because, you know, we obviously send an email out to every single person, you know, we announce those winners twice. But still, I know, like, you send, you know, you probably get 100 emails a day. So it's like, depending on, and then you're on another continent. So time, it might be showing up like at the worst time of day for you to actually catch it. But I'm glad you found out about your awards. I wish you'd, that's a bummer that you didn't see the email, because we even sent out an email. The email included a list that showed all the awards alphabetically by film, so that people could just look at their film and see. And I happen to know this, A Beautiful Escape starts with A and then a B. It was alphabetically at the very top. So you would have seen your film at the very top of that list.
Yes. And so when I saw that, I was like, okay, there's a list. And I was like, I thought it was just a list of selections. Like, oh, wait, what? Oh, wow. Outstanding music video. Wow. And then I see it twice. Wait, it's again. Haley, whoa. So it was like, I had all this news. At first I thought I was going to get the notification from Film Freeway. Like you said, it could be a lot of things. It could have just been, could have hit the junk folder. It could have just been, who knows, but I found out by accident. And once I did, I had to take screenshot photos of it and then send it to everyone I know here in China. It's like, hey, I didn't just get selected. We won a couple of awards. And when I showed Haley, she's like, ooh, I'm going to be famous. Yes. And I was like,
she is famous among a small but dedicated group of, you know, film people in LA. Just really, really enjoyed her performance. Yeah, and hey, no, it's kind of cool. I know people don't, you know, I know no one submits to a festival. I mean, maybe some people do, but most people just submit and they just are happy to share their work, and no one really has awards in mind. But when awards happen, it's, you know, it's kind of cool. You can like walk around going, hey, you know what? I didn't think about it yet today, but I'm an award-winning director.
Actually, Justin, I didn't think about that until right till he said that. Thank you. It just hit me because this whole time I was just my music video won an award, Beautiful Escape won an award, my movie Exodus has been selected in a couple of festivals already, but it didn't hit me about I'm an award winning director. Just to mention that I gotta process that, The other thing was that when Haley found out and all that stuff, it was just funny compared to a lot of people in where we are right now, a lot of people just got to see you both in New York and Los Angeles, and you won an award in Los Angeles. So yeah, I mean, yeah, she's definitely got more exposure than most people in the city of Fushun.
Yeah. Fushun. Was she born in Fushun?
No, she's actually from another province, Sichuan province in the city called Chengdu. The city is known for its spicy food. It is famous for its spicy food, but also, sadly, it was the if you looked it up, one of the unfortunate things is that city was also known for its major earthquakes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but she lives in Fushun, but she is a Sichuan girl.
And Well, hey, it's still cool that on the other, you know, halfway around the world, there's people enjoying the work. It's very cool.
Yeah. So
anything else? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just can't tell you how, I mean, just doing this again, all this is new for me. So this is all like first time and I'm just enjoying this. So I'm like, I will say this when we did the Q&A, it's going to probably happen again when we finish this podcast. But when we did the Q&A, I was just so euphoric. And then I started looking back at everything I said. I forgot to mention this. Oh, dang it, I should have done this. Ah, and I'm probably going to happen again because it's just, I'm having such a blast right now. So,
I mean, isn't that how life goes? Like, you know, as soon as you're done with something, you know exactly how you would have wanted to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So always after the fact.
I can't wait to kick myself when this is over.
You know, every time I lose at tennis, I think the next day I'm like, okay, that strategy would have worked. But yeah, what are you going to do? You don't get it in the moment. You get it the next day. I understand.
Just to let you know, since you did mention you haven't seen the movie Exodus yet, my goal is the same as A Beautiful Escape. It's like, you know what? The award, if it being selected, I was actually surprised it got selected. But again, it's all a surprise. Just the fact that so far, everyone who has seen it, they just have a fun time. And that's just what I want. It's not about being famous or making money because, again, I did it all on my own. And I'm going to keep doing things on my own if that's the way it has to be. And it was just, I just want people to have a fun time. And hopefully when you do see it, you'll say, well, that was a trip. I mean, and everything else is just icing on the cake.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching it. And I was going to ask, is there before we run, is there anything else you'd want to mention?
You mentioned High TV, right?
TV High. Yeah, TV High. TV High.
Yeah, they just funny that you mentioned that too. They just Film Freeway sent me a link to them. Like, I've been invited to submit to them. So I was just like, I think I already did. I'm not sure. It depends on how you feel about it. Otherwise, I have a chance anyways with them to submit. So
We sent that through them, but we were just promoting TV High through a festival that we hold on April 20th called the TV High Film Festival. So
and hopefully they give you much deserved props because it's because of you that I become aware of them. So, and I was like, actually, then when you explain their concept, is like, wow, I like that concept. Actually, seems like TV High seems like a pretty fun thing to go for as well. So good on you. You are very good at spreading the word of other forms of works as well to help people out.
Cool. Very cool. Well, and I mean, your work feels a little appropriate for TV High. So hopefully that stuff comes together.
Right. Oh, and you mentioned, I mean, I know about timing, everything like that. So you had some additional questions, but maybe it's not necessary because of the time. I mean, time flew
by. No, we're good. I'm going to, we'll wrap it up. You would, when we talked before we started recording, you said as far as the web and stuff, people should look you up on YouTube. But if you want, you can just email me a link to your YouTube page, and then I'll put that in the show notes so that people can like click on it and see stuff you've made right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. My goal is just to make whatever projects I have all my projects I've done behind the camera on the YouTube page, and then I've just done a bunch of editing where I take footage and I re-edit them just for the fun of it. I'm not trying to go for subscribers or be a YouTube star. It's just, no, this is all just passion. And it's not even a hobby. This is my portfolio. I'm building up a portfolio so that when I do basically start my own production company, I can transfer all that there. But for right now, yeah, what it is it's not so much a YouTube page to be a YouTube star. It's basically a portfolio of seeing it.
That's a great place for a visual artist to have their stuff.
Yeah. One thing I always do before Beautiful Escape, I always did get a lot of comments for people of the student film I made, which was hilarious. It's called Big Brother, Heavy Brother. but that's a whole nother story.
Oh, another story. All right. Well, you can tell me that story sometime. But and by the way, the questions you're referring to, we're actually going to I'll get us out of here with a little closing outro, and then we'll record a second podcast where you'll answer the four questions I talked about, because that's its own podcast where you talk about your favorite films and underrated film, overrated film, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. But I don't, when I just kind of separate the four questions podcast from the interview podcast, because otherwise it, like, you know, it's too much all at once for people, I think. So that's been my Discover Indie Film podcast strategy, I guess.
Cool.
So I will ramble now so that we can hurry up and get your answers to those questions. So thank you, Joey. I thank you, everyone who is listening. This is the Discover Indie Film podcast. If you want to learn more about this podcast, and there's actually a TV series that was born out of it that's on Amazon Prime Video, just go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's @DIFWINS. Joey said some really kind stuff about Film Invasion Los Angeles. I'm the festival runner of that festival we hold every June. You can learn more at filminvasionla.com. And it's @FilminvasionLA on social media. And there is a sister festival of it. That's why I haven't had time to watch Joey's feature yet. The sister festival is Sherman Oaks Film Festival, and we hold it every November, which sadly is coming up faster on me than I realized. But you can learn about Sherman Oaks Film Festival if you go to ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's @ShermanOaksFF on social media. And man, Joey, you helped me do all the work. You also mentioned TV High. Yeah, so if people want to check out a new streaming service, TV High, you just go to watchtvhigh.com. Or if you go on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Android TV, iPhone or Android mobile, you can download the TV High app. It's TVHI. And it is all indie content. And it's also particularly good to watch if you can use drugs responsibly. That's why it's called TV High. WatchTVHigh.com. Is that, you know what? I can't help but be a little serious. I have friends in recovery. So if you can use drugs without harming your life, I think you'll really enjoy the material on TV High. And I swear to God, the stuff on TV High, you do not have to be stoned to enjoy anyway. So that is a closing spiel. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you, Jeff.
And thank you everyone for listening. And right after we stop recording, we're going to record Joey's answers to those four questions I mentioned. So we're doing two podcasts for the price of one. All right. Ooh, thank you, everyone.
Controversy with those answers.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Joey. And thank you, everybody.
Goodbye.